So, I think all of you know me, I guess, through our letter and through being here and probably following us for some time. Warm welcome to the people who haven't been here before. It's really wonderful to have new people joining. And yeah, we have people from all over the world, actually. It's amazing. Someone as far as away as Malaysia and I don't know where else all of you are from, but some of you are local. And also, we have Venerable Witmuller here, who is a bhikkhuni friend originally from Holland, who has a wonderful monastery in Belgium that I've visited, Tilorian Monastery.
It's a long
And
time ago.
it was a long time ago, so it's
Yeah.
even more wonderful now. The
We have
buildings have matured.
a bit more goodies.
Yeah, the bhikkhuni has matured.
I hope.
And we're very fortunate because I've invited you to give some Dhamma reflection today. So we're going to start off with that, with a Dhamma reflection and meditation for about an hour or so. We'll have some walking meditation. We'll have another short sit. We will have a whole tea time. And then we'll have a Q&A session, which is the most interesting part, I think. But it's only interesting because you've already meditated and you probably will have some things to share. And then we'll finish at six. So after another guided meditation to end. So I'd like to welcome you
Okay.
to introduce the theme and
Thank you very much,
yeah,
Emma.
guide
It's
us.
really wonderful to be here and to see this project. I still remember that the two of us were in Germany setting up the first Vanakampa website and going to the cemetery actually to make all kinds of the Jewish cemetery. It's very beautiful there, and to make all kinds of pictures.
It's true.
And so I have a very uplifting topic for you today, namely death. And yeah, in our society we often think of death as something like, well, we tend to not want to think of it. It's kind of scary, and so that's why I want to try today to change your mind a little bit and make it a bit more less scary. So I did this. So I started doing these kind of guided meditations on death and in 2020, so it's a COVID period, at the death anniversary of my mother. It's 1 year death anniversary of my mother, and I had the urn of my mom standing next to me as well. And it was just so beautiful, and I did that in English, and then followed by another hour in German, and people really loved it. Kept doing that occasionally when I feel like it, basically. So I want to share that with you. And death is the only thing that we have that we know that's actually the only certainty that we have. Everything in life is uncertain, but we know that there's one thing that's certain, is when you get born, at some point you'll die. And we try to not think of that in our society here. We try to think of, like, oh, when somebody gets born, we have this big party and it's all wonderful. But that's where we don't think about that. We don't talk about that because that's scary. And that actually makes the whole thing really difficult when you actually get to that point, because you've been taught all your life that this is something like, ooh. And the Buddha said, it's like, well, no, it's just part of life. It's normal. What would life be like if everybody stayed alive? I can't even imagine that. It would be very crowded, first of all. I think I had a little note from somebody yesterday who said, by now, there was 110 billion people have died. And there's 8 billion of us still waiting. So yeah, that's it. So can you imagine this planet with 110 billion people on it? It's like, gosh, it must be hell. So no, it's all part of life and part of something we can learn from as well. I studied geophysics many years ago now. And one of the, as a student, one of the first field works I had was in an area where it's now near to where the monastery is, where I live. And we had this great yeah, how do you call that? Sorry, I'm Dutch. My language sometimes fails me here in English, but it is these chalk rocks. This is very big rock formation, and the river cuts right through that, so you can actually see that. And when you go up to it, you see all this structure in the rock. When you look at it closely, like all that is a big reef. It used to be a big reef, and now it's like 500 meters above sea level and 300 kilometers inland. So I won't give you a lecture on geology and how that's possible, but this whole reef consists of little creatures, of the skeletons of little creatures, of this whole chalk formation. And it's absolutely massive when you look at it and say, like, wow, all this is skeletons. And this river is cutting right through it, and it's taking bits of it, and it dissolves in the river. And further down the river, there is a dam, a hydro dam, but they also use it for drinking water for the area. So all those little skeletons of all these little creatures, they dissolve into this water, and it becomes drinking water. It becomes, well, the lion scale in there, but also the calcium that's in the water that we drink. And that becomes part of our bones. So our bones are, like, especially when I was now living there, like, oh yeah, there's all these little creatures, and their skeletons, or their mo the molecules of their skeletons have become molecules of my skeleton right now. And that's actually really beautiful to think about. It's like, oh, and one day my skeleton will become part of the cycle of life again as well, or it is part of the cycle of life, but it will continue on and maybe become part of the skeletons of other beings, maybe other humans as well. And that goes continues on. There's not a molecule in our body that's still the same from like when we were a child. So you can also ask yourself, so what is this me really? Is that my body? Well, the Buddha obviously said, yeah, all of you have been practicing, I take it, so you know. It's like, no, the body is not who you are. It's not the self. But quite often we still take that as it's at least some part of me in some way. So we still get attached to it, especially when it gets ill. And I'm getting a little bit older now, so I'm beginning to fall apart, where this body is beginning to fall apart slightly here and there. And especially when you died, and at that moment, it's a very powerful moment, because then you really have to let go. And that's why you can see it's like where you're still holding on to this body. So that's why we're practicing in this life, we're practicing meditation to prepare us also for that moment of death, so we can really let go in that moment. I remember when I was still in the Guenca tradition, there's this I think it's a book. You probably remember. It's like The Art of Living is the Art of Dying. Yes, yeah. I found it really beautiful to so that this is our practice. It's the art of dying is the art of living as well. We can turn it around as well. So, and many years ago, before I even came across Buddhism, I was like trying things out, as you do when you're young. And I was a bit in this new age kind of thing. And there's this teacher, some of you might have heard of, Carlos Castaneda, and I wouldn't advise you to go there. But there was one thing that in one of the books that I read, it's always stayed with me. And it said, like, well, death is always stalking you. So, do you want to spend your last moments on earth in a crappy mood? So now I try to remember that when I am in a crappy mood. It's like, yeah, we don't know when we're gonna die. It can be the next second. I mean, it happens. You can just sit there one day and dropped that next. Last year, I nearly died, according to the doctors, because I had a appendicitis, acute appendicitis, and I went to the hospital a bit, very much at the last minute. So yeah, it can happen. It brings it down to you, like, oh yeah, this can happen every minute. So how do I want to spend that last moment of my life, which can be right now? Well, I want to be happy. We all want to be happy. So why keep letting us drawn into this crappy mood all the time? Like, that's, yeah, let's let go of that. We don't need that. When you're faced with death, your priorities change. Things are not so important anymore that you thought were so important before. And other things become more important. Some years ago, one of my very good friends, we were organizing a retreat with Ajahn Brahmali, and she was the first to sign up. And she said, I want to work in the kitchen. So for us, that's great, because like, we need people to help work in the kitchen. And 2 months later, she called and said, oh, I think I have to cancel, because by the time you have the retreat, I'll be dead. Because she had terminal cancer, and she only had a few more months to live. So I went over there to see her, of course. And the person who opened the door was the happiest person I've ever seen in my life. And it was just so incredibly inspiring to see her. And she'd been meditating for quite some time. And she said, yeah, it's like, you can let go of everything you thought was important and really focus on the things that are really important, on love, on helping other people. And she said, I can be Santa Claus now. I can give away all my stuff and I can see the happiness in people's faces when I give it to them. So she was just so happy. She was doing such stuff for other people all the time. And it was so inspiring to see that. It's like, yeah, your perception really changes at that moment when you think like, oh, I've got nothing more to lose. And if you think about that, it's really something really special. So today, I think it's one of the things also when people would, or monks would ordain in Wat Pananachat, Ajahn Chah would then ask them, it's like, are you ready to die? Have you come here to die? So it's a rather strange question when you say, for some people anyway. It's like, oh, well, no, I came here to learn the Dhamma. Well, maybe that's the same thing, is to learn how to die with this same love and happiness and gratitude that my friend had just a month before she was about to die. So I want to do a guided meditation on this topic. And yeah, so make yourself comfortable and relax. Let's see if your body is all relaxed. Is there any tensions anywhere? Breathe in and out a couple of times deeply. With every out breath, just relax a little bit more. You can move and fidget a little bit if you're not quite comfortable yet. And bring your attention to your skull. See if you can visualize your skull in your body, your head. The color, the texture, the hardness. You can feel the jaw moving, hardness of the teeth. The skull is protecting our brain and helping us to chew food so we can digest it better. Imagine the eye sockets. Nose. You can move your head a little bit, so you can visualize it a little bit better. How it's moving. And going down your spine, all the way to your little tailbone, all these vertebrae. Thanks to all these vertebrae, we can be upright, we can move. And it's protecting our nerves. Such an intricate, beautiful system. You slowly move down, visualizing color, texture, hardness, all these vertebrae. Just how you're sitting there. Also visualize the shoulders, shoulder blades, collarbones. What does that look like? What does it feel like? Going down your arms. Upper arm. Elbows. Two bones in your lower arms. Your wrists, and all those bones in your hands. So many of them. They make it possible for us to grasp things. What does that look like? All these bones lying in your lap or on your knees. All these little bones in your hands. You can move them a little bit if you want to. And visualize all your ribs. Breastbone. Protecting your heart and your lungs. Going down to your pelvis, your hips. And thanks to those bones, you can sit right now. They also help you to walk. What do they look like? Going down your legs, your right thigh bone, it's the biggest bone we have. Your knees, your right knee, to the bones in your lower leg. Heels and all those bones in your foot. And wiggle your toes a little bit. What does it feel like? What's the color, the texture? Thanks to all those bones that we can walk. And doing the same with the left leg. Such an amazing system, this skeleton. So for a few minutes to stay with this whole skeleton, just sitting here on your cushion or on your chair. What does it look like? You're just a skeleton sitting. All the people here, just all skeletons sitting. We can be very grateful for this skeleton. Without it, it would be very difficult to lift. Now you just imagine that your skeleton is lying on the floor in front of you. You're looking at it. What does it look like in the skull? The jaw? All those vertebrae. What color does it have? What texture? How do you feel about looking at the skeleton? Collarbones, shoulder blades. Arms, upper arms, lower arms. All those amazing little bones in our hands. It's lying in front of you. All the ribs and the breastbone. Pelvis, the legs, the feet, all those amazing little bones in the feet that can all move. What does it look like to see that from a distance? An amazing thing that nature has made. It's white and beautiful. It's just part of nature. When you have a good image of the skeleton lying in front of you, you begin to notice that it's slowly starting to fall apart. The jaw falls to the ground, all the ribs, everything just falls down. It slowly begins to disintegrate. Slowly the bones get broken. And then break in smaller and smaller bits. So all that's left is dust. And then comes the wind. Takes up the dust and goes in all directions. It falls in the water of the rivers, on the land, it's taken up by the roots of plants, becomes part of the plants. And animals and humans eat the plants. We drink the milk of the cows, the water from the rivers. All the molecules of this skeleton that was once ours becomes part of the skeletons of others. And so to all the molecules of our skeleton were once part of the skeletons of other beings. That way we're all connected to all other living creatures on this planet. Bring back your attention to yourself, to your own body, to your own skeleton. just how it's sitting there on the cushion or on the chair. I'm going to feel all those molecules of our skeleton, this loving kindness, this metta, and the gratitude we have towards this skeleton for giving us life. Now, when it comes time for the molecules of our skeleton to leave our body, either at death or before, and they can take a little bit of loving kindness with them. We spread our loving kindness to all those living creatures on the planet. Just scan your skeleton once again from the top of your head all the way down to the tips of your toes. Feeling all those molecules with love and kindness for all those creatures. All the beings that these molecules came from, and all the beings, where it's going. We're coming near to the end of the meditation. I'll take a few minutes to reflect back on what you've done, how it went, what worked and what didn't work. What did it feel like?